You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to the Brad Foe Show. It's a Who Says No with a full gang minus Rob, because he's going to be traveling out for this Red Sox away trip. But the Red Sox just finished up their homestead on a positive note after starting things on what was back to us saying that they are the mid Sox. I still think they're hovering around that mid Sox, but they cap off a Mariners series win on a high note, would you guys say? That was a pretty decisive win to cap it off the night before, winning 9-4, tonight winning
12-3.
Yeah. Did I get that right?
Yeah,
I'll be honest, I tuned away and I started watching the Celtics as soon as that got started, because that Red Sox game was over. The bats showed up tonight. They were looking like how they were looking before that Cardinals series. I'm feeling good still. I don't know where you guys are sitting. We're going to tease this. We're going to get to it eventually. We now kind of know what the pitching staff is going to look like for maybe the next month, I'd say. Before we start getting more guys back from the IL. So I'm feeling good.
That may not be true.
Okay.
Because once Whitlock comes back, you're right back in the same spot. And he's coming back. He's making one more start in AAA on Sunday, and then he's back, and then you're right back up to six starters. They're going to have to make another decision.
Okay. So I was feeling good. And when I'm feeling good, do you know what I'm yelling?
McFarlane.
Oh, true.
There we go, baby. Pat?
What?
Would it be a company man? This podcast is powered by McFarlane. Gordo going to Seattle possibly will be powered by McFarlane. Who knows?
Oh, it's happening.
We're going to be filling those engines with McFarlane.
We all know the Celtics could use some McFarlane energy tonight.
Yeah, that was bad. That was bad showing last night. That's why we're not going to be talking. This is a Red Sox podcast, sir. We're not talking about the shooty hoops.
Sox had the energy.
Sox were feeling that McFarlane stuff. But as you just brought up, Gordo, as great as we might be feeling coming off of this series, there's things to consider. Where do you want to start? Do you want to just start right with the Pivetta stuff? Cora made his decision after tonight's game. And it was kind of already, I think, leaning that way. He had mentioned beforehand, I believe yesterday or 2 days ago on Wednesday, he'd alluded to like his role as a utility player and how he just had to bite the bullet and like just be a company man and do whatever needs to be done to get the win. Last night, Cora makes the decision. Pivetta is going to be heading to the pen. Pivetta, when asked, he's giving that same company line now. He's going to do whatever he can to help this team. I guess, who says no to that? Are you buying his emotions on that he's just kind of like, all right, this is where I am now? Or do you think he's got a little fire under him to get back into that starting role, if that is still a possibility for him?
Does it matter? I don't think it matters. I mean,
he has no decision.
ERA at 6.3 now as a starter. He really doesn't have a choice. Either he's a company man and does what the team needs him to do, or see ya. I mean, he's out of options, so he better be a company man.
Yeah, no, I think it would be one thing if this is kind of out of the blue, and then he kind of voiced like, "Yo, yeah, like he'll do what's good for the team." Blah, blah, blah. He's been very adamant since spring training that he would not be open to relieving. And now all of a sudden, I don't think there was a sudden change of heart that quick. And I think maybe Cora told him there's a way that, oh, like guy goes down, like you're first in line, whatever. Like, cause I mean, the rotation has been healthy all year, but if this is the end game, Pivetta out of the pen, I think we might even trade before the deadline if he is there that long. He might like genuinely force his way out as he said months prior, if he hates it that much, that might be the only option.
Well, here's the thing, he can hate it all he wants, But if he doesn't perform, like, he's not going to get a starting spot on the Red Sox or any other team. So he may hate it. I'm sure he hates it. He said he would hate it like a week ago.
Oh, he said that he can't understand it. There's a difference there.
Yeah.
What can't you understand, man? What are you not understanding?
Yeah. He's going to have to perform there if he wants an opportunity to start for the Red Sox. Like, 'cause if he's not performing there and he's not stretched out all the way and Cutter's not stretched out of the way, but Cutter's performing, if guys go down, like, why is Cutter not going to get that opportunity? So Pivetta's going to have to perform, like, whether he wants an opportunity here or if he wants to get traded. Like, if he posts a 6 whatever ERA he has, like, that's just, he's not going to get what he wants. So he's going to have to pitch. He's going to have to pitch well.
He might cut that ERA in half now that we're saying, you know, trade Pivetta, because our track history with, you know, saying guys need a change of scenery doesn't really work out. But, I mean, it works out for the Red Sox favor. What do you think? I mean, what team would actually want to? It would have to be a trade. I can't see them just, like, cutting ties with Pivetta. That's way too much to, like, lose on that, especially after what just happened with Brazier. Like, at some point you need to start getting return on these guys that aren't working out. A month down the road, how much of a leash are you giving Pivetta in that pen?
That's a tough question. It depends on where the team's at as well. Like, if the team is just, like, melting down a month from now, you give him a little bit of a longer leash because he's under contract. But I mean,
I don't see this team having that type of meltdown.
Me neither.
Like, even with, like, our concerns about the pitching, if anything, like we just said, like, you're going to start having guys come back, and the biggest issue is figure out what guys are better to have in that spot.
If he's not having success in the bullpen, people will laugh at this. I really do think they could get something for him in a trade. It's not going to be anything crazy, but a team like Oakland, who in a vacuum would love to trade maybe a relief pitcher or a bench piece or a minor leaguer for a starting pitcher, sure, they do that. Tampa Bay would probably give you something small to work with him. I mean, he's got a decent fastball, nasty curveball. There's stuff to work with. He's got that crazy good extension. I know teams are looking at that now. Extension rate, he's like 90th percentile or something like that. I don't know what that means, but teams love it. So I think you could get something for him, but it's not going to be crazy.
That extension, that's like how far forward you're throwing the ball. Like, Whitlock throws the ball really close to the plate. He's got that really long extension. Like,
you know who else? Yeah. Winkowski. He's always had Winkowski had the biggest increase in extension. Biggest or, like, second biggest. He's up there in extension. So kind of like, it must do something. It must be useful. I mean, you're closer to the hitter, but Pivetta has that going for him, so that's how much we're reaching to try to find extract value out of this guy with his 6.3 ERA.
No, but I think you're right. I think you're right, though. I think he's got another year of control. I mean, the Red Sox, when they traded for him, it was a similar situation in Philadelphia. They wanted to put him in the pen. He wasn't open to it. They worked with him in the minors a little bit, ended up dealing him to the Red Sox, and the Red Sox worked with him in the minors and got him to the point where they felt comfortable bringing him back up. Like, obviously no more options, so, like, you'd be working with him at the big league level, but I'm sure there's teams, you know, he's always, before now, he was kind of an analytics darling. Like, all those teams were interested in him and stuff like that. But yeah, I think there is a team somewhere that would take him, and that would actually be interesting for the Red Sox at the deadline, because that would be a way to give themselves some wiggle room to add some salary if they could get a team to take Pivetta. And then it obviously would free up money next year. I mean, obviously you could just non-tender him in the offseason if you wanted to do that. But yeah, I mean, there's a million different options you could take with him. And, like, I'm sure they are going to try him out in, like, several different bullpen roles just to see if you can get any value from him there. Like, hopefully you strike gold and he's the next Josh Winkowski. But I mean, I don't think it's a likely outcome, but I know a lot of people are a lot more optimistic than I am there.
I think San Diego makes sense too. I think their 4 and 5 stars are both relievers already. I think Nick Martinez and Seth Lugo are their 2 back end starters.
Yeah.
So, like, another flyer on a guy like that, but who is actually thrown starting innings for a bottom of the organization prospect, I don't think San Diego would mind taking that risk at all.
But if you can get anything for him, it's a win. I'm like, I'm so sick. Yeah. It's the attitude for me that does it. Like the poutiness and everything. I can't stand that. It's like, you're so fortunate to be a Major League Baseball player and to be playing for the Red Sox too. I know I'm biased, but like, you're at Fenway Park half the season. Like, stop pouting, man. I would kill to be in that guy's position. I'm sure all of us would. And he's like acting like his life is and of course, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes with him, but baseball wise, it's just frustrating. Like, man, go to the bullpen, be happy about it, pitch well, and we'll all love you again, like we did in 2021. So, please.
Do you, I mean, like, but like, that's the thing is, do you think that's a product of like since 2021 now? Like, he now has no really like sustainable life in baseball where like he's really like ambiguous when it comes to his role of like, I don't know where I actually belong. So, when it comes to that contract part of my life, and teams are kind of like, well, we don't really know where you belong either, so we don't want to give you a whole lot of money. Like, I get where he's coming from in that sense.
Find a niche.
But it's also like, hey, and to that point, it's kind of like, well, if you wind up on a successful team and like when you're in this whole floating like back between like the starting position and the bullpen position, you've now been to the playoffs. If they make it to the playoffs this year, he can now say, I've been to the playoffs twice from that role. So it's just kind of like, well, how am I going to be paid? Well, I'm going to be paid being the utility guy that you can put in any slot and be
exactly
like you and can that's rely valuable. On me. So like that, that like that is the thing. It's just like you have to look at it as what's going to be the positive in the situation.
Exactly.
Where I think are we just his therapist now? Is that what we're just did?
Therapists.
Yeah.
We're
I hope this is what they're telling them.
Well, then going off what Coop was just saying is like there is value in being like that expandable option. Zach Eflin came out of the bullpen for the Phillies in the playoffs last year. He just got a 30, whatever it was, $8 million contract.
Multi-year, too. Security as well. Like, it's like what gets paid more?
Yeah.
A starter with a 6 ERA or a very good reliever? Not even very good, just a solid reliever who can go multiple innings. It's a no-brainer.
Another example out of Philadelphia, Matt Strom right now. Like Matt Strom was tested at like the starting position. He's been in the bullpen position. Very nice guy to the Bradfo show. So he would throw him love. We're glad that he got paid by Dombrowski. It's just like there is
Joe Kelly.
I think
Joe Kelly.
Joe Kelly.
Yeah, between like being like long relief.
Joe Kelly's
like,
a great example.
Yeah, he went from a starter.
He didn't necessarily.
No, I'm sure he didn't. He was like a highly touted starter for a while. Didn't work out. Went to the bullpen, had success, and got multiple contracts out of it. And he's still going. He got two rings, right? He's got two rings out of it.
He consistently reinvents like his pitching style every offseason just to make sure that he gets paid. So like that is just what baseball is now, especially with analytics. Is just like, what can I do to maximize my efficiency for this team and also maximize my profit while playing for this team? So maybe that is a trend. Like maybe Pivetta is like the first, not casualty, but first like experiment of this is what's going to be going on with players. And like some players need to accept that role. Like, I mean, you don't see guys going complete games anymore. Like Waka going 7 shutout innings, complete or like perfect inning. It was 7 perfect, correct?
Last year?
Yeah, 7 perfect.
Yeah.
Like, no, the other day. Or are you talking about, he did it like 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was 7 perfect. Yeah. It got broken up in the air.
Like 7 perfect is obviously like the feat in it, but like just going 7 innings is kind of a feat in its own now. Like you don't have those guys anymore that can go the distance just because that is where the game is going. You want guys that can just get through like two times through the order fast, and then you do rely on those bullpen pieces. So like Pivetta like bitching, it doesn't make sense. Like just accept your role.
Good segue.
Yeah.
Coop.
Yeah.
I'd pose a question to everyone. You're talking about I want to move on from Pivetta, if that's okay with everyone, because I have a.
I'm fine. I feel like we've covered Pivetta pretty well.
So, different situation. Tanner Houck, I'm pretty torn. I think I know which way I'm leaning: starter, reliever, at least for this year. But like, interesting situation, man, with that guy, because he's unhittable for 3 innings, and then usually it unravels.
Yeah. And about a month ago, we had brought up Houck and like kind of like what the question.
We have flip-flopped a lot of this podcast.
I'm still, I'm still staying firm on where I stand on this. I know how I answered last time, but Gordo, I'm curious where your head is at right now.
Yeah.
Where I'm at? Hulk to the bullpen, okay. Baby. When he's in the bullpen, he dominates. Like that's the thing. Like it's not that I don't want him starting, because I think he can develop into a good starter. It's just the role that he's really good at is being able to eat up like two innings in that pen and really bridge that gap of, like I was just saying, the starter is not the starter anymore. So if you get to the fifth inning, you bring in Hulk, he can get you to the seventh,
valuable.
That's all I want. That's a valuable role,
right, Coop?
That is so big for this team right now.
That's a valuable role. Two innings out of the bullpen. You listening, Pavetta? Valuable role.
Very valuable. That's, hey, we value you. You belong to us.
Hey, if he could throw two good innings out of the pen consistently, we will value you. Like, come on. We love that.
Yeah,
like,
Gordo will start campaigning for you to go to the All-Star game. That's how much we value
it. Do you remember? We were like a week and a half into the season, and it was when we were on the radio, and Rob asked me, who have you been most impressed with so far? And I said Josh Winkowski, and it was just from him doing that role. Mm-hmm. So, like, come on. Nick Pavetta, I will give you love on this show. Nick?
You hear that, Nick?
Yeah, come on. If you can throw me two good innings out of the pen every few days, I will give you some serious love.
You want that Gordo love, Pavetta? You go to the bullpen, you succeed.
You won't get the starter contract, but hey, you'll get our love, baby. You'll get
that Gordo love.
You'll get that. You'll get that sweet, sweet Bradfo who says no.
Pat looks freaked out.
Pat, where do you stand on this? What do you want from Hulk?
No, I agree. I think that there's been enough trial and error in a sense where he, at this point in time, he's more valuable out of the bullpen to go 2-3 shutdown innings. I mean, we saw it in 21. He came out of the pen in 2021. He piggybacked Sale one of the games where he got blown up. It went like 3 or 4 shutout. Like,
talking about the Rays playoff game?
Yeah, the 2021 ALDS. Yeah. Like, it's invaluable. Like, if you have a starter who gets shelled, it's good to know that you could pull the plug early and still get meaningful innings out of one of your relievers, for whether it be 2 or 3, mm-hmm. 4 innings. And I think Hulk is like,
hold up, you want to kill a starter?
Yes.
You're pulling the plug on a starter. Dude, that's messed up.
Are you listening, Corey Kluber?
My God. Like, to be fair, he's the closest to that situation.
Yeah, no, I definitely is.
But no, that makes sense because, like, I think we all agree this is where baseball is going.
I'm going to differ from you guys.
Well, I think Gordo and I are
what
the same.
Differ from you guys. I was getting kind of bored here. Same I'll page, be honest. Gordo. We can all agree.
Let's bring it home, baby. All right. Sammy, I know you're going to agree with this point. And Coop, you said you think Tanner Houck can develop into a good starter.
Yes, I do.
You can't develop Tanner Houck into being a good starter without letting him work through these kinks and letting him start. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that important games in September are going to roll around and you're going to be throwing Houck, trying to get him through that third time through the order when he's still getting shelled. Like, no, we're not saying that. But there are examples of guys who were dominant relievers and couldn't quite get through that second or third time through the order. The Astros had a couple in Christian Javier and Jose Urquidy that have both developed into – Javier's like elite now, and Urquidy's really good. You got to give him time to work through these things. I think one thing I would try – Ian Kundle said this on Twitter first, and it got some traction. I actually agree with it. Is to try to start the game with an opener. Get Hulk going in like the third inning against the bottom of the order first. Maybe he can work – 4 or 5 innings there, and if you've gone with the opener for 2, now you're not yanking Hulk in like the middle of the 5th inning with 2 guys on base. You're yanking him in the 7th inning, and you can decide at that point, like, are we going to our Chris Martin? Are we going like to the back end of the bullpen? Because now you're not stuck in the 5th inning needing to figure out how you're going to get out of a jam and eat the 6th inning and then close out a game. The stuff is there. Like, he flat out dominates the first
How good
time
was he against
order.
Seattle those first few innings? He was untouchable.
Oh,
they couldn't touch
God.
Him. And then it just unravels.
Like, I really, it's hard because, like, it really does unravel, and it seems to happen
fast
every single time. But, yeah, and really quickly. But it's just, it feels like it's just one little thing. And if he can figure out, maybe it's working more with those third and fourth pitches, but it just, it feels like he is so close. And if he just jumps over this hurdle, we could have a really good starter here. And I just feel like going two innings out of the pen with him, even though two innings is valuable, it's just, it's cutting him short on his potential. That's how I feel about it.
I agree with that. I don't know how to develop a pitcher. I'm just some schmuck speaking into like a mic. But I feel like you can work like in and out, into out, like where you're building more innings into him, where eventually maybe he's hitting like three innings, like relief, and maybe you're getting him up to four. And when you're comfortable with him, like if he shows up Kluber bottoms out after two, you put him in that third inning and he's able to like ride you all the way out into the eighth. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's like the turning point. You're just like, all right, well now it's time to bring him back into that starting position, because he can show that he can eat more than four innings in appearance. Like that's what you want. I would say that's the barometer.
My other thing too is, Gorda, you said like he has the stuff to be like a disgusting starter. It's about whatever. Two people came to mind when you said that. Andrew Miller. I remember people were like, he has the stuff. He's going to build whatever. The second he went to reliever, he was a several time all-star, like World Series champ, but like the top three reliever in baseball. And then the other one was friend of the program, mm-hmm. Joe Kelly. Joe is the same way. He had the 100-mile-an-hour fastball. He had the sinker. He had the good slider. Like, some guys have the stuff and can't clear that hurdle. And I'm not saying how can't, but is it bad to start the transition early where he does become that 2-3 inning reliever that can just shut shit down?
I have a take on that. To what you just said, Pat, the way I look at it, and I'm staying firm on this, like I've said from day one, I don't think this is a World Series team. I think it would be awesome if they made the playoffs, and I think they have a real chance, but just with the rotation, I don't see them making a real run at the World Series. So when you say, is it bad to start the transition early? No, it's not. But why are you starting the transition early? He's only started 8 games this year. I believe he has 27 major league starts since 2020. That's not that much. I think people think he's started a lot more than he actually has, because he's pitched more innings than said. Doesn't make any sense, but he hasn't started that much. The way I'm looking at it is, there's no reason to rush him. It would be great if he was a weapon out of the bullpen, but that's an evergreen thing. They could do that anytime. It's not like he's going to lose the ability to become a reliever. And what if after the All-Star game, something
including clicked? In September, if they're competing,
say it again.
Include, like, they could put him in the pen in September if they're competing and he's not really getting it done. Like, just because you're starting him now and through the All-Star break doesn't mean you can't put him in the pen.
It doesn't
later.
Run out. And what if he clicks? What if he clicks in July or something and we go, oh my God, thank God we didn't move him to the bullpen. And what if he doesn't? Who cares? Move him to the bullpen. It's not like something you lose. There's no time limit on it. You can do it whenever. I would just let the guy keep going. It's not like he's been terrible. He hasn't been great as a starter, but I mean, he's better than Pivetta and Kluber. So,
and that's honestly maybe the next thing we got to get to, because that's when we watched Tanner Houck and last start the other night, he went what, 5 innings, 4 runs, and it felt like the end of the world.
Yeah.
Even though 5 innings, 4 runs is not that terrible, but it's just that when you're getting horrible starts from Pivetta and Kluber 2 out of every 5 days, like a 5 inning, 4 run start from Houck feels like it drowns
you. The expectation is much different.
If you can replace. Right. But now with Pivetta going to the pen, and like in our perfect world, like when Whitlock comes back and you've got 6 guys, maybe Kluber's not one of the 5 that makes it, then you've got 5 guys and maybe you can afford the occasional 5 inning, 4 run start, because you're not getting 6 ERAs from Pivetta anymore, at least out of the rotation.
I guess that's the other point too. It is very situational. At this point in time, it probably makes the most sense to put Houck in the bullpen. That being said, if Pivetta goes to the bullpen and somehow, some way you trade or cut ties with Kluber, then yes, Houck absolutely has to be that guy in the rotation.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
I'm going to be honest. I've been, like I said, I've been hooked to the bullpen for a while now. Sammy, I think you just won me over.
Because there's no...
But like, you're absolutely right in the fact that like, this is still the mid Sox. This is still like the year of the unknown where you're just kind of hoping for development. And yeah, like I would say like after the All-Star game, like that, like I wouldn't now in my head, like that's not, that is my like point of, all right, now we can start thinking about whether we want to move Houck back there or not, because that is like I had said, and like you had pointed out, I think he can develop into that whole starter position, that starting role. So yeah, like he does need those reps. I mean, not all last year, but a majority of last year and, you know, 2021, we saw him take reps out of the bullpen, and we really haven't seen him undergo an entire season of just working out of that starting role. And this is the year to do it. And like, we have to keep remembering that. This season can still be fun. This season can still be a competitive season. But I think like getting to that All-Star game, that All-Star weekend, like that is where we want to get by first as a team. And then the team can really start making decisions on, you know, what that whole like starting rotation will look like, what the bullpen's going to look like if they want to make that push. Cause I think they can be at the starting or at the All-Star game and still like they could still be in last place, but I think they could still be like X amount of like games out of the wild card or like in the wild card spot in that at that time. Like that's just how this AL East is set up to be right.
And it's not saying like, oh, this team isn't worth like they're not worth watching. They're not going to do anything. We're not saying that. It's just saying like, look, they're kind of in a tough spot with a luxury tax. They're not going to be able to add much at the deadline. If they do add anything, I doubt they go over. It's not like this is a year they're going for it. If they've somehow gone a magical run, we'll all be psyched. But staying realistic, it's a year for progression for a lot of the young guys, figuring out who your guys are, Pablo Reyes, and just, you know, building for next year.
Not a pitcher.
He could be.
I shouldn't be laughing.
He was last. He was two nights ago.
Just because you do it doesn't
That's
mean
true.
That
he
you
was
are.
A pitcher. He pitched.
Brock Holt's a better pitcher. I'm going to be completely honest with you on that. The form. Well,
that's not
the form
a lot.
Was Brock not
Holt's
there.
Brock Holt's one of the all-time greats. Like, why are you comparing him?
Gordo had
true.
To
That's a tough like standard to set.
Poor Gordo had to sit next to me at Fenway the other night when I was just going insane about my boy Pablo Reyes, who I absolutely adore. He's my favorite player of all time.
Sammy also owned some moron behind us who was, what was he yelling at? He was yelling something at Casas. And it's the same night that the stupid people on ESPN asked him about his mom.
It was this drunk kid behind us was like flipping out at Casas saying like, you're just another Bobby Dalbec. You're a bum. Get off the field.
Exactly. Exactly like Bobby Dalbec. As someone who got to watch Bobby Dalbec strike out today and was there, Casas is exactly like Bobby Dalbec. Yeah, oh my!
They both play first base, bro.
Yeah, I was out on a date when I looked up at the TV and saw Pablo Reyes on the mound, and I kind of like under my breath I MF'd whatever was happening in that game and the date.
Huh? You okay? You all right?
No, I'm not all right. Pablo Reyes is on the mound. What do you think?
Show some respect for my boy.
Hey, look up at the TV.
He's hitting, what's his batting average right now? Hold on. I was pulling it up while you guys were. 421 for my boy, along with sick defense and speed.
How many plate appearances?
What do you have, four RBIs tonight?
How many plate appearances is that? What's the sample size?
Oh, he's had a ton 20? Of it. He's had 19 at bat. But still.
Yeah? Okay.
Don't talk bad about my sweet, sweet boy.
No, I mean, a trend's a trend. It, as Rob wanted to point out about Ryan Brazier, a trend's a trend. He was trending in the right direction at the end of the season. I think he was third best out of left-handed pitchers or facing left-handed batters between September 6th and October 32nd.
He did that.
So that's really good to see that he ended up working out, that he was a good thing to keep around to see Matt Barnes. I mean, Matt Barnes hadn't done really that well down in Miami, but he's doing something for Miami, and he's still on that roster in Miami. Yeah. So maybe that would have been nice to still have with the Red Sox, even though he kind of left under weird terms and maybe he's not the best for the clubhouse. But I digress. Ryan Brazier is gone, baby.
How did it take us a half hour to touch on that?
I've been sitting on that so long. Piss Ryan Brazier. No, that's mean.
I got
a guy lost his job. Let's just remember that. But yeah, like what happened? What did he know? What information did he have on Chaim Plume like that just kept him around?
Check the internet in a few days.
Pat knows. I have
some beef to settle.
Okay,
buddy, me too.
Can I name drop? No, I saw Coop's face. I might not be able to name drop.
Why go what?
This may be a PG-13 to R rating. Yeah. Pete Ape.
Oh, Feet Boy.
Went on this ridiculous Twitter rant about, Sox fans are so disrespectful. Do you not remember 2018? He was so good, blah, blah, blah. No one denies that. No one is out here saying, oh, God, like Ryan Brazier sucked in 2018 with his 1.51. No one is saying
how
that.
Many times have we I said what he did to Gary Sanchez years. Was cool. Okay. It was cool telling him to get back in the box.
That was the best.
We are best moment. five years removed from 2018. And oh my God, I'm so mad. Pete Abe is out here acting like we just DFA'd Mariano Rivera. I'm like, have you not seen what this man has done to the Red Sox past 3 years? Oh, so disrespectful. He was so good. No one said he was not good in 2018. To get on your high horse and respect the man and, oh, this man lost his job. Good for you. The man sucked. He was so bad.
He lost his...
And people are celebrating that.
He lost his job, but he also made $2 million this year.
The other thing, too, is like, that's like defending, like, DFAing Pablo Sandoval. You're like, oh, this man has an eating problem. Leave him alone. Like, it's ridiculous. It is insane. I got so mad reading that tweet the other day. I was ballistic.
So, Coop, I think you're on mute.
Doesn't matter. Whatever. It was just more spouting off about the same thing. That I hated that tweet.
I get it. I don't like I mean, I'm glad he's gone. I don't like dislike him as a person. I mean, it's probably better for him too. Yes. Like he's probably better off. Like I know we've made this joke plenty of times, but when Tampa Bay signs him and he has like a 1.3 and we're like, oh my God, we're all going to.
Their bullpen of Jake Diekman, Zach Littell, and Ryan Brazier closing out the World Series 7-8-9 is going to be
Diekman infuriating. Diekman just gave up a bomb, I think, yesterday or today. So that made me feel a little better, like the Rays are like humans. Like they can't fix Jake Diekman, who looks like a sailor who's lost at sea when he's pitching. Like, where am I?
Zach Littell struck out the side yesterday.
Someone may or may not have had a conversation with Chaim Plume where he might have said, watch, Diekman's just going to become like the reason they go to the World Series. Just because he understands how Tampa Bay works. That may or may not have been a conversation that happened. Who knows?
Yeah.
So he sees that too.
Real quick, Sam, like what Sam was just saying, like maybe like, it was mutually beneficial. Like for us, we got rid of an absolutely horrendous reliever. For Ryan Brazier, I mean, you can only shit your pants in public so many times before it's embarrassing. Like it was probably to the point where he's like, this is just, I feel disgusting. I want to leave.
He also has to take, we're going to do more, like, just like what we did for Pivetta. We're doing like the therapy thing for him. I mean, the dude was like pitching in the Korean Baseball League before he won a World Series. Like,
yeah,
the man had like the ultimate like player arch where he ended up doing like the thing that like every ball player really sets out to do and is win a World Series. So it's kind of like, man, if this is the end of the road, like this is the end of the road. Like so many other players have not had this opportunity. And it's kind of like, yeah, dude, like at some point you just have to tip your cap and just be like, I suck. Like not all of us can be Rich Ellen pitch until we're 50 years old.
He made a bunch of money. He won a World Series. Like he'll probably get another shot this year somewhere and like maybe turn it around. And like, if he doesn't do it this year, then like, we'll see what happens. Cause I mean, I doubt we see teams going nuts for him next year. If we see more of the same from him this year, but hell of a journey. Like you said, Coop, like came back, won a World Series his first year back here, pitched great that year and, you know, did some good things in 2021 and made a bunch of money in the process. So like props to him, like good career. Like a lot of, most guys would kill to have the Ryan Brazier.
Yeah, he made $2 million this year. I'll never make $2 million. That's great. Good for him.
And don't count yourself out. You're doing incredible things for one fighter. Yeah,
thank you. I got a good arm.
Free plug there. Free plug.
I could, one championship, close enough, but I could fill the right.
That's
role.
How much I know about ultimate fighting or mixed martial arts.
Close enough. I think he's better off. I think it could not have been pleasant for Ryan Brazier, like walking around Fenway with Red Sox fans. I bet he's been chirped 1,000 times by, hey, buddy, you fucking stink out there. What happened in 2000? Get in the box. That was cool. It's a good thing that it's over.
Why'd that sound like me?
Yeah. Your Boston accent imitation always sounds like the Italian Boston guys.
It always sounds New York.
It does.
It goes a little too New York.
That's something I never really thought of. Like, can you imagine Ryan Brazier just walking around Boston? Some of the horrendous things he must hear. He's just walking down the street. Well, him and his.
I was gonna say everyone recognizes him too because he walks like that.
I'll be honest. I don't think he's getting recognized. And if he does, I don't think anyone cares enough to say anything. Yeah. Like he's at that point of like irrelevancy with this team. Which is even mean. Like that's even more mean to say.
Well, I mean, I think around Fenway,
if I see him on the streets, it's like I feel bad for him. I'm kind of like, oh man, like you're still walking around here. Like, just move out. Go to the burbs. Like, no one wants you around here, man. Like, you're too old.
Yeah,
it's over. Go home.
They told Brady he was too old.
Yeah, and then he moved next to a country club that wouldn't even want him in there.
If there's one athlete I would compare Ryan Brazier to, it's Tom Brady.
Yeah, I've always said that,
and I'm not just saying that because of the looks. He might
listen. No one thought he could do it. They all counted him out. They both had a chip on their shoulder. Maybe Brazier was also taken in the sixth round.
They both had good trends on both of those guys.
They were trending, man. They were trending.
Just like in synopsis. Like, thank you for 2018. You were useless beyond that, but thank you for
2021. He was all right.
I saw.
Yeah, he pitched five straight days, didn't he? He pitched five in a row after, and he got hit in the head with a line drive in the minors. He's had a hell of a journey.
I forgot about that.
That was Rob's biggest sympathetic moment with him because, like, he always talked about like the plate that he wore in his hat and everything. And I saw Rob at the park the day that it happened, and we had like a full conversation. And it was just like this, where I waited to the end, and I pointed at him, and I was like, "Hey, I was right." And he was just kind of like, "Hey, man, like someone just lost their job," and he pointed again to like the whole like wearing the plate on like his helm or his hat. And like the fact that like he battled back from injuries and everything. So
Rob had a little P-Day moment himself.
He didn't have a P-Day. I think it was just more of the fact that like I didn't win that one. I'm not going to, Rob's not here to defend his point I won't say that I won that argument, but I think I won that argument.
We can be appreciative for the good stuff that he did here, but also happy that it's mercifully come to an end for everyone.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like your Nana that had a whole lot of money. Like, we're all mourning her, but goddamn. Oh. Goddamn. We just got paid.
$2 million.
And that payment is a roster spot in the bullpen. Any final notes before we close things out here? Celtics bad loss. We got some optimism with roster movement.
I got a cool thing I heard about my boy Pablo Reyes. Oh. I put it in our group. The rumor is Joey Cora of the Pirates, Alex Cora's brother.
I saw this. Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently he's obviously aware the Red Sox were looking for middle infield help. His brother's the manager. And he kind of, I don't know how you put this, but he said to Alex, like, hey, check out Pablo Reyes. He's in AAA on with Oakland. I guess he had one of those upwards mobility clauses, however the Red Sox got him. And here he is, best shortstop in Red Sox history. And everyone's favorite player, my favorite player, probably starting the All-Star game for the American League. So, yeah.
Anyone see what Adam Duvall said today?
June 9th, right?
No.
June 9th, what? Yankees. That's his his return. Or he's
shut up, is it?
No, it's his target.
His ideal return.
First day he's eligible to come off of the IL, so that's why he picked that date.
60-day, yeah.
I guess I'll use this opportunity to also announce that on June 9th, I will also be available to play at Yankee Stadium.
Are you doing the media?
I'm doing the media game, baby. I'm back, unless this also gets rained out again. So that's going to be me and Adam Duvall, one of a kind. So,
do you hit lefty?
I don't. I hit righty. I know this lineup needs a lefty bat. I can't.
You could hit lefty at Yankee Stadium. All you have to do is make contact and it's gone.
I think I could put one out righty. I got it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I gotta yank the hell out of it. But
it's at Yankee Stadium, right?
It's gonna the opening. So the way that they do it, it's actually really cool. It's gonna be cheesy. Honored to say that I get to like participate in it. But the Red Sox and the Yankee beat and media, they do a media game for the opening series of the year and the closing series of the year, which always end up being like alternating sites. So. Opening series, Yankee Stadium, media game will be there June 9th. If you're there, let me know. Come say hi. Maybe I'll put on a show for you. Maybe I'll try and get you in. I'd have to know ahead of time. And just let's act like we're friends and I'll get you in. But on the other note, Fenway will be the second one around.
Oh, I'll be there.
Which is that's the difficult one to get into for media. Everyone wants to play at Fenway Park. No one wants to play at Yankee Stadium.
They don't want to play at the house that the taxpayers built or the house that Ruth built.
The house that Judge just kind of moved into. He's squatting. It's just squatters rights. The house that Aaron Judge squatted rights to.
That's Hideki Matsui's casa.
Is it?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it technically be A-Rod's?
He was the World Series MVP the last time the Yankees won the World Series, which was 13 years ago, I think three presidents ago, and before like iPhones were popular. And so it's been a long time for them.
I missed you.
When was the Yankee Stadium built? What was the new Yankee Stadium?
2009 was the first season.
It's the house Hideki built. It's the house that Hideki built.
Okay. Congrats to Hideki. He deserves that. We should just force that
narrative. Genuine.
If we can get all of
that sounded like so really like congrats to Hideki.
Congrats to Hideki. He earned that. If we can have everyone tweet out it, yeah, if you're listening at this point, I know Zoid is. That dude's always listening.
Hideki.
Who?
Zoidberger.
Oh yeah. What about him?
I'm sure that you guys have seen him lurking. He listens all through everything. So I'm just saying if you're listening right now, go ahead and tweet at the Bradfo show. Hashtag thank you, Hideki. the house that Hideki built.
There we go. I was gonna say the house that
should
be Hideki's house.
Hideki's house.
Thank you, Hideki. I love that.
Thank you, Hideki.
Thank you, Hideki.
I like no context.
Okay, and just use a picture of Yankee Stadium. Just find like a stock image, like Yankee Stadium.
It also like emphasizes how long it's been since the Yankees have won a World Series. So I love thank you, Hideki. It's great.
Thank you, Hideki.
Yeah. Coop, we gotta get Nate to cook up a graphic where a Yankee Stadium, but the only retired number is 55.
It's the Legends Park that they have out in center
field. Yeah, dumb, stupid, yeah.
The only headstone is just like Hideki Matsui.
Oh, I love the Hideki segment. This is great. I'm losing it. So tired.
Just like it's go. Just like complete Yankee erase, like history erasure. Like we're not talking about Mickey Mantle anymore. We're not talking about Derek Jeter. It's just like Hideki all the time.
Yeah, you gotta have a black and white TV to watch.
Oh. Very quickly, very, very quickly before we wrap up. Did you guys see Aaron Boone was asked his Mount Rushmore of Yankees?
What the? I don't care.
It was horrendous.
Well, I didn't
he
even
had
see it.
A-Rod and Judge on it with no Mantle, yep. No Barra.
No, that's no. Ooh. I. This is my new favorite list.
He should put himself on there. I love Aaron Boone. I'm so happy he hit that home run in 2003. It is parlayed into so much Yankees pain, and they didn't even get a title out of that.
Yeah, no, I'm gonna tweet out that like Aaron Boone has the ideal Yankee list now.
This is it right here. His four man Yankee Mount Rushmore: Ruth, Gehrig, Judge, Jeter.
He's missing Johnny Damon on that list.
So there's no Mariano,
Jacoby Ellsbury,
no DiMaggio,
Steven Drew,
Hideki.
Whoa, no, dude.
Steve Pierce?
That was weird. That was weird.
Really weird.
Steve Pierce. People forget he was the
Yankee. Kobe Ellsbury.
Kevin Youkilis.
Franchi Cordero.
David Wells.
No, that was great. That was a good – that felt really good how all the Yankees fans fell for the exact same Franchi thing that we fell for two times. Where it was like, this guy's huge. He's athletic and he hits tanks. There's no way he's going to slow down and fall off a cliff. And then he slows down and falls off a cliff.
Beautiful. He's just got to go around the AL East doing that now. Yeah. He's got to do the Blue Jays and
he's
the
like
Rays.
A hitman.
Now. He'll probably end up with the Rays.
Do the Orioles count?
Oh my god.
Orioles yeah, they count. Count. Yeah, they count.
Yeah, he's with the Orioles. He played for the Orioles,
but he never made it to a regular season game.
Yeah, that's all right. He was with the Orioles.
He's no Hideki. Right. Yeah, not counts. A Hideki yeah. guy.
If it shows certainly, up on his contract, he's an Oriole. Any final notes? That was a long final note there. Yeah.
Thank you, Hideki. Yeah. That's my final.
Thank you, Hideki. The house run Hideki built.
Good weekend series against Xander Bogaerts and the ice cold San Diego Padres. Oh, wait. One thing we didn't mention. Yeah. James Paxton. He looked great.
Dog.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Big yeah. Pax. Pax attack.
He looks like what? 2018 himself again.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Yeah. Cross the fingers. Dog, we need that. We need that right now.
Forgot that he could look like that. It was awesome. Big maple.
I was at
showed up. All the sweetness.
He's from Canada.
I was at the Zach Bryan concert in line to get a drink. Okay, and I look up on the thing and I was like, oh my god. I forgot Pax is pitching. Look up, dude hit 97.
Will you
like,
denounce Morgan Wallen right now? Sir.
Denounce
Morgan Wallen.
I'm not a Morgan Wallen guy. So
okay, cool.
All
right. On that note,
I'm also not a Morgan Wallen guy.
All right. Yep.
Admittedly,
I don't know who that is.
Sammy?
Never even heard of it.
No. Okay. So this is an anti Morgan Wallen podcast.
Sign me up.
I'm making that
pro Hideki.
Brad Folk can overrule that if he has Morgan
the
Wallen.
The house
on,
that Hideki built.
Yeah. All right. Absolute chaos to end this episode. we'll talk to you guys Monday maybe we'll see I don't know
yeah, all right
in the meantime go Sox
thank you Hideki
McFarlane.